Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, it is legal tampering. We are in the new year, kind of, almost there. And the Bears enter with, kind of a roar, but pretty soft one at that.
Yeah, they made a few moves prior to the early negotiation period that kicked off today at 11 a.m. And then, they got the Jalen Johnson deal done. So they made some minor splashes here to kind of help the team. But, yeah, today is not like last year, man. Last year was exciting. 15 minutes in, linebacker. A few minutes later, another linebacker. They dumped a ton of cash. They don't have as much money as last year, but they are still, I think, fifth in the NFL and effective cap space. So there's some money to play with here. That's even after the Jalen Johnson deal. So I thought we'd see something. I'm guessing they were in on some of these guys that went elsewhere and it just didn't work out, which we did see Ryan Poles do last year. He was in on Mike McGlinchey. The guarantees got a bit too high. He bowed out. So I think maybe he's kind of in the same boat. It's going to be his deal. And I guess that's probably a good thing.
Doesn't like to shop on the premium shelf very much. Although there are a couple players still out there, we won't necessarily close the door on all of them. And we'll get to that maybe towards the end of the show, where we talk about maybe what's left and what's next for the Bears potentially. But let's talk about the newest Chicago Bear, at least as of this recording, and that is DeAndre Swift. Those of you that watch the NFC North are familiar with DeAndre Swift. He was a draft pick of the Detroit Lions. He was then traded away to the Eagles and then became a free agent and signed a three-year contract worth $24 million, a little over $15 million of that guaranteed, to presumably come in and be the lead back in the backfield with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. So kind of a bad day for the Khalil Herbert fan club that I'm in charge of. But otherwise, a good player, maybe not the big, huge splash that some people were hoping for with the Saquon Barkley move, but a good player at a price that I think is somewhat reasonable. What was your reaction?
Yeah, when I first saw it, I saw the money. I'm like, well, he's a good player. He's obviously younger than Barkley, younger than Josh Jacobs, who the Bears were rumored to be in on. The money, I didn't catch the Josh Jacobs money yet, but the Saquon deal, Swift came way under that. This is essentially a two-year deal. And then the third year, of course, like most contracts, is like, we'll see what happens there. They may have to cut him. But my concern when I first saw the deal was, how is he in pass pro? So I reached out to some guys. I'm like, hey, that know him a little better than I do. They said he's not the best in pass pro. But then I saw something. I wish I would have grabbed the tweet. I forget who tweeted out. But so Shane Waldron, the Bears' new OC, he doesn't keep his tailbacks in very often to pass block.
Like 17% of
Okay, so it's like 70% of the time. So that tells me that he either has a tailback leaking out in the flat, running routes, angle routes or something, or he prefers to keep a tight end or an H-back into block. So I guess I understand what he's doing here. Swift is a little more explosive than last year's free agent pickup, Deontay Foreman. He's a little more explosive than what Bears fans are used to. I mean, we're used to Khalil Herbert, but Swift is a little more of an all-around guy as far as he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I like the signing for who he is and what he brings to the Bears. I'm not a huge guy to pay tailbacks in this market, but for what the Bears want to do, I think this is a good pickup for them.
And I think Swift is going to be that guy that is going to be the primary ball catcher out of the backfield. Yeah. He's going to run a lot more routes than, say, Khalil Herbert can. And, Khalil Herbert is one of the best runners in the game. Yeah. If you just want to turn around and hand the ball off, you're not going to get much better than Khalil Herbert. I mean, there's a lot of really good advanced statistics that'll back that up. And if outside of Nick Chubb, you can start making an argument that Khalil Herbert's the best runner, but he just doesn't have that other pieces of his game that he's been able to stack together. And so you see, if you're trying to build a complementary backfield, you need a guy like this who is particularly good catching the ball out of the backfield. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. Jacobs goes to the Packers for 4 years, $48 million. So that is a much steeper deal for Josh Jacobs. Jacobs essentially replaces Aaron Jones. So once they sign Jacobs, they cut Aaron Jones. So now Aaron Jones is a free agent. So there was this brief moment in time where it looked like the Packers were maybe signing Jacobs to complement Aaron Jones, and they were going to have this, you know, kind of really uber talented backfield, depending on how you feel about Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones has been killing the Bears for years. So like, I'm not going to take any questions on him. Like he's a good football player. Maybe, maybe he's towards the end of his career, but he's a good football player. Peter Bukowski from our friends over there at Cheesehead Land, you know, got really excited. And then about 2 minutes later, they released Aaron Jones and he's like, oh damn. That happens to us all, but he's essentially a replacement there. The Eagles are the ones that landed Saquon Barkley, so he's essentially replacing Swift, right? Like, so there's kind of this interesting musical chairs of backs going on, because, you know, David Montgomery went to Detroit to replace Swift, right? So there's just kind of this dancing around with some of these backs here. And some of the speculation on pretty healthy contracts for these running backs, which has not happened over the last few years, is that the draft that's upcoming here is pretty shallow in the running back market. There's not a lot to get excited about there. And so you saw a lot of action. Tony Pollard also signed early. So you saw a lot of action with running backs getting knocked off the board real quick.
Yeah, that happens every year. That's a lot of things a lot of fans don't take into consideration during free agency is, well, how does the draft stack up with these positions? This is some, obviously, that the teams have had their eye on it for a long time. They understand that's probably the best way to go. That's probably why the Bears were linked to so many tailbacks, you know, during the last few weeks, because it just seemed like they weren't going to go with the running back in the draft. They get their guy. It should be a good running back room now. It looks like Swift, obviously, with the money, you know, he's going to probably be the primary. But, you know, Herbert's quality. Roshan Johnson showed some stuff last year. Travis Homer still there, probably going to be your special teams guy. He was with Shane Waldron for a couple years in Seattle, so he's familiar with him. Kerry Blasingame is a fullback. Now, Waldron didn't use a fullback a lot in Seattle. He used more of a tight end and an H-back role. But that's the same thing. He may use blasting game there. So the one thing I like about Shane Waldron is he'll utilize the people on his roster. So it's going to be curious to see how he kind of mingles all these guys in and gets the Bears running game going.
I reached out to a Detroit writer that I've got a good relationship with. And I said, all right, let me hear it. You know, what's the deal with Swift? And, you know, he's like, look, I'm a fan. I like him. Obviously, when they drafted, you know, the young guy last year, he knew he was going to be on the move. But he said the thing with Swift was that every time it seemed like he was ready to just break out, he'd get hurt.
Yeah.
And he has missed a lot of games in his career. And that's something that we're going to have to, you know, just keep in mind, that he has not been able to stay healthy. When you pair that up with Khalil Herbert, who also has missed some games, obviously we saw Roshan miss some games as well this last year, you know, concussion a little bit different in terms of not like a leg injury or anything like that. But, you know, these guys have missed time. Also, that's pretty common with running backs. I mean, running backs get dinged up and beat up. That's why you want to build a good stable of these guys. So that, as of right now, that's the day one headlining signing. So, you know, it's maybe not what we expected. I think we expected, you know, an offensive lineman potentially, you know, we expected a defensive lineman potentially, but you know, that's where we're at right now. Now we're going to kind of go a little bit back in time and cover some of these other guys. So let's talk about, Kevin Byard, safety, a long time with the Titans, 2-time first team all pro in his career, really good football player. I mean, this is a really good football player. He's a guy that, so he signed for 2 years, $15 million. So, you know, pretty good market for a safety. And he comes off before the start of free agency because he was, you know, a vested veteran that's released you know, before the cycle starts, so he's able to sign before the league year. I mean, I just can't, like, I love watching this guy. I've watched Titans defense. He's a really good player. It's just the guy that's towards the end of his career. So you're hoping that he doesn't fall off that athletic cliff and he's able to continue to contribute. But he's going to bring a lot of veteran leadership. He basically steps into that Eddie Jackson role. You just hope that the athletic skills are still there long enough to be able to, you know, provide some value out of that contract.
Yeah, I mean, during his career, he's kind of played free. He's played some strong. He can kind of do both. What the Bears scheme is, you know, they don't want to move those guys around. You know, they'll kind of play you where you are, depending on how the offense lines up. And I think with Brisker, you know, Brisker, I know he, because of Jackson, he was more the guy that was up in the box, but I think Brisker has enough athleticism and skills to kind of play a little deeper on occasion. So it'll be nice to see how they use them both. But with Biard though, man, 120 some odd tackles last year. You know, I know a lot of Bears fans were not happy with Eddie Jackson sometimes making business decisions when it comes to tackle. That's not with this guy. This guy's he will lay the wood. Him and Brisker are a good tandem back there. And this really sets the whole secondary up. I mean, this is going to be a good secondary. And then if they sign another edge here in free agency, you know, this defense can really take a big step.
Well, I saw some, you know, speculation or some questions. People, and absolutely right when this signing happened, people said, is this the best secondary in the league? Yeah. We always have to go right to the top, right? Like, yeah. Well, is this the best secondary in the league? And it's like, well, maybe just like, could it be one of the best? Like, maybe we just start there. And I think I saw Brad Spielberger maybe field this one and say, on paper, it looks like it could contend to be that, but it certainly has to play out, right? Like that's where you're at, because you still have to get those next steps from some of these other players and hope that, you know, Byard still has plenty left in the tank. But again, a good athlete, has had a really good career. He was traded last year from a bad team to a contending team. Didn't necessarily play all that well on the Eagles down late, but you know, we've seen that with midseason trades. Is that because he's, you know, maybe regressing a little bit, or is that because just new situation, new defense and being thrown in, you know, who knows? And I can't say that I sat there and watched safety tape of the Eagles. I just know that like it was maybe not quite the level that they were hoping for down the stretch, but I really like this player. He's a locker room guy, I think is certainly one of those, you know, personalities going to be able to provide that veteran leadership and show those guys what first team all pro play looks like. Right. Like, I mean, he's been there, he's played at a high level. So I would imagine that this is just a really good character signing and a really good leadership signing in addition to what he can give on the field in terms of performance.
Yeah, I mean, he's replacing a guy that kind of had that role. So it's he's going to step into the role of leadership, the veteran back there. So it's a good pickup for them. And like you said, if Tyreek Stevenson takes a nice step, if Kyler Gordon takes another step, Brisker takes another step, yeah, this secondary could be talked amongst a top five unit next year for sure.
Yeah, well, let's keep it in the secondary and talk about Jalen Johnson. Nice. So he was franchise tagged for a minute, and then before you knew it, we got a contract extension, which was great to see. Obviously, you and I talked about this last year. This was our priority for Ryan Poles last year to try to extend. Didn't happen. He chose to go a different route with his internal extension money, I guess, to get Cole Kmet on an extension, which seems like that's probably a good idea too. Cole Kmet had a great year and these tight ends are signing for insane money right now. But Jalen obviously played incredible in his final year of the rookie contract, set himself up here. 4 years, $76 million contract, about 44 of that guaranteed. A really healthy mark. They finally came in to an agreement here. I don't think it's an overpay by any stretch of the imagination for one of the best corners in the league. But I don't think he took a, you know, cheap deal or anything like that either. So the Bears are able to keep their corner one and, you know, certainly arguably the best player on their defense. I mean, people are going to come at me and say Sweat, but one of those two guys, right? So they keep one of the best players on the defense and really the anchor of that secondary that allows you to make a statement like, this could be the best secondary in the league.
Yeah, when they sign him, and I saw some talk right away on social media from some of the usual analytic guys. Oh, it's, you know, the numbers are kind of goofy, but, you know, it was a good win-win type of deal because he got the same amount of money he would have got had he had a double franchise tag. He got a little more guaranteed. The average kind of works out, so it's under 20, which is still kind of nice to see as for the Bears. But, you know, it's he is still young enough to where he can get one more big deal out of the NFL. So if he's relatively healthy, and that's been an issue with him during his career, he missed a couple games every season, you know, but if you're only missing a few games each year, you know, that's fine. That's doable. Teams will still pay you for that as long as it's not chronic. I know Mason West was kind of talking a little bit about some of his shoulder issues, how they seem like they may be behind him. They're not like chronic, the stuff he had this last season. So if he stays healthy, if he lives up to the contract, he may cash in one more time, whether it's in Chicago or elsewhere, but good deal for him and a good deal for the Bears. And it's a good deal to keep that defense intact.
So obviously he had kind of an interesting press conference. We're not going to necessarily touch some of the things that he talked about, but one thing that he did say was he wanted to be the best number 33 in team history, which I thought was very interesting. And you know, my favorite player of all time is Charles Tillman, who wore number 33. And so just kind of like, okay, like that's a pretty good goal for a guy like Jalen. I mean, he sets his goals high.
It's interesting because he's cognizant of the number, obviously. Peanut Tillman, an outstanding Bear. You know, I think that's cool that he's aware of that. That's cool that he's going to shoot for that. You got to have goals. I mean, these athletes, they all have things they're striving for. And, you know, a couple more Pro Bowls, you know, another All Pro. He may be in that mix.
Why not? Why not him? Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right. So that's good. Good job, Ryan Poles. We're very happy that you were able to keep him and make him a Bear for another 4 years. And good job, Ryan Poles, for finally getting your man.
Wow.
Ryan Bates, the guard or interior offensive lineman, let's say, from the Buffalo Bills. If you remember a couple years ago, Ryan Poles signed Ryan Bates to an offer sheet. And I saw a little bit of conversation about this on Twitter. Like, well, you know, there were only two teams bidding on a back. There were multiple teams, actually, that tried to sign Ryan Bates to an offer sheet. Bates chose the Bears to sign with. And then the Bills had the opportunity to match that. No one thought they would because they were pretty deep on offensive line. It was a pretty healthy contract for a guy that really wasn't a primary starter for them, but they did. And it was one of these that like kind of got away. It was just this like kind of sad moment because Poles really wasn't able to do much his first year. And this was like kind of seemed like his kind of signature move. He pivots off of that and goes to sign Lucas Patrick, which was kind of his like premier signing that year. And, you know, Patrick did what Patrick wasn't very good necessarily overall, but like, you know, he's not a bad overall presence in the locker room or anything. But the Bills needed to make some moves, and Poles gets his guy, trades a fifth rounder this year to be able to get him. It's a pretty nice cost control contract at this point because most of the money, the Bills already paid it. Yeah. And so I think it's only $4 million for Bates this year, which is, if you watched free agency today with some of these offensive line contracts, I wore my Tevin Jenkins shirt because Tevin Jenkins didn't make any money today, but Tevin Jenkins made a lot of money today.
Guards got paid today.
Guards got paid.
Yes, I love it.
So when Tevin Jenkins is going to be up for contract next year, he's going to make some money because those guys made a lot. So I think it's an interesting move because when it happened, I thought, okay, great. Poles gets his guy. Obviously, he likes him. He likes everything about him. And it's an interior offensive line depth piece. So if Tevin misses some time, if Nate Davis misses some time, if your center misses some time, he can step in and play any of those roles. And, you know, he's got a history of being able to do that. The piece that's maybe lacking there is that the center, like the guy that you're going to sign or draft maybe to play center. If that guy misses, well, right now that guy doesn't exist. That didn't happen in day one in free agency. A couple of the guys that we thought maybe could be targets are already signed to play with other teams. And so as of right now, Ryan Bates is your projected to be your starting center. So what did you think of the move, and where do you think that particular position is sitting at right now?
When I first saw the move made, I'm like, you know, the money, I knew the money was kind of, it was basically Ryan Poles' contract that he signed him to. So I wasn't aware that the Bills were going to keep some of that cash. So when I saw it was only a $4 million for this year, next year, I'm like, well, that's a good deal. The Bears are essentially having to replace Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, and Dan Feeney. So they have three guys that started games with them last year in the interior they have to replace. So I'm like, okay, Ryan Bates is going to be your swing. Then we hear the buzz, you know, Brad Biggs, Greg Gabriel, oh, this is the center. You know, let's see what happens in free agency. I mean, we're one day in, and Lloyd Cushenberry is off the market. He signed a pretty big deal somewhere else. So we saw some other centers kind of go off the market. Like you said, pretty substantial money. Maybe Bates is the center. I mean, Bates is better than what the Bears had last year at center, but I was hoping for a little higher bar. I was hoping that Bates could be your swing. It still could happen. I mean, they still may make a move. There's some guys out there that have some experience, but if you go into it with Ryan Bates as your guy, like I said, it's better than what they had last year. You still got some moves to make because you are missing, like I said, all those guys that played last year on the interior. Nate Davis missed time. We know Tevin Jenkins is going to miss time. Last year's center missed time. So who is the in-swing guy? If it's not Bates, then you better go out there and spend a little bit of cash on a veteran you trust, because you don't have a lot of draft picks this year. So there has to be another move coming. And I'm assuming, like I said, we're only a few hours into free agency. So something's going to happen.
Now, one of those potential moves is the Dolphins center, who Connor Williams, who
yes.
tore his ACL late in the year last year. And in talking to Mason West a little bit about recovery from an ACL and when you can kind of get back on the field, you know, he was saying for an NFL player, you know, eight, nine months or something like that, where you can kind of get back to be able to play, you're not going to be 100%, but you know, it's kind of that second year is when you get back to that fully healthy mark. And I said, well, does that count? This is the same thing for big guys, because, yeah. you know, do you need to like lose the weight to be able to help with like the load bearing to get back up? And then you got to put the weight back on, and then you got to get into like playing. Like, I feel like for a big guy, it might be a little different. And he was kind of like, I don't really see it that way. I think it's kind of the same. And I, you know, they got those, you know, specialized machines that allow you to work at the percentage of your body weight and stuff. So I would assume with professional care, they can bring a guy along a lot better than it could be if it was you or me. You know, if we tore our ACL, we'd be done. You know, we'd be out of commission for a lot longer than 8 months. We'll just put it that way, right? And so I wonder if that's an option for Poles at this point, because you know we heard some rumors and some rumblings that he liked that player as a potential target moving into the year before the injury. And so, you know, does that injury take you off the board? Maybe you bring him in, you know that you have Bates that can cover you until you feel confident enough in that surgically repaired knee to be able to get back on the field. And even if there's maybe some shared time throughout the year, you're kind of signing him for 2025 and beyond, right? Like maybe that's part of the plan here, because that's a good football player there too.
Yeah, if you can get him, I mean, obviously the injury's unfortunate, you know, but you know, he may be forced to sign a shorter term deal. He may sign a 2-year deal just to kind of show, hey, I got to get back to where I was. And that obviously is something the Bears would benefit from. But like I said, he's a good football player, you know? So if you get him at a comfortable price, you have Bates as your center, you get another veteran inside there, you let a guy like Williams kind of rehab and get back to it. And by the time, you know, midseason rolls around, even before, now he's in the mix or he can get back in there and play some games for you. So, yeah, I think that could be on the table. I mean, we haven't seen him go off the board yet. So, you know, he's out there looking. That's probably something he's thinking as well, that he may have to take a shorter deal. He knows the deal. I mean, he got hurt. It sucks. He's in a contract year, you know, but these guys are competitors. At the end of the day, he's going to want to get out there and find a good opportunity to play some games. And if he looks at Chicago and is like, yeah, I can go there. I can be the starting center there once I get my rehab done. And I think he takes it. And then if, especially if he thinks that the Bears are on the come, I mean, they won 7 games, you know, last year, three the year prior. So maybe he's looking at them as an ascending offense. Shane Waldron's in tow here. So maybe he wants to make a move and go somewhere where we can kind of rehab his image as well, too.
Man, the Dolphins are just bleeding talent today. It's just amazing how much they went in last year and it just did not work out. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll let somebody else, talk for a minute here for the podcast listeners, and we'll be right back on the other side of it. All right, let's talk about it.
There it is.
Justin Fields. So I don't know how to properly introduce this because the Civil War on Twitter and Facebook and on the website and at your supermarket and things it's been intense. It's been intense. There's, a faction of fans that are very adamant and upset at the suggestion of anything else. And I don't even have to tell you what their position is because they're both sides have been that same way, right?
So angry,
angry at each other. And, at the end of the day, I think you have to kind of step back. Everybody's a Bears fan. And I think the vast majority of fans are somewhere in the middle. But there's a pretty vocal group of fans that are pretty adamant that Justin Fields is staying and why are you talking about Justin Fields being traded? And there's a very vocal part of the fan base that is picking fights and getting mad and throwing things, saying like obviously he's getting traded. From everything that we've seen and heard, the Bears are going to select almost certainly Caleb Williams at number one overall in the draft, and they're going to try to trade Justin Fields. It didn't happen before free agency. It didn't happen today after the quarterback dominoes started to fall. And so where does that leave the Bears with Justin Fields? Where does Justin Fields potentially play football in the next year? I mean, on this show, we're going to operate under the principle that what we've heard is true and that they are going to move Justin Fields. But you have any sense of where that could be at this point?
Yeah, it's just a weird situation. I mean, if as a franchise, if you have already decided, hey, Fields isn't our guy, okay, if that's the decision that was made, you can't keep him. If the best your trade is going to be a fourth or fifth round pick or worse, that sucks. It is what it is. That's what the market is. That's what the league's telling you what he's worth right now. So if you've decided as a franchise, we're going to move on and we're going to draft the top quarterback on our board, presumably Caleb Williams, there's no way this can coexist. It just doesn't happen. The Caleb Williams, he was supposed to come in to Chicago. There was that Albert Breer story, I think it was a week ago, right after the combine, right? Where the way it's presented on like Facebook, on the Facebook memes was, oh, Caleb canceled on the Bears. But the way Breer wrote it was, they decided to reschedule, they meeting Caleb and the Bears, because of his pro days coming up. And like, they didn't want him flying all around the country with so much stuff going on. They said, just do that. So at some point they'll get his medicals. At some point they'll have their meeting. At some point they'll have their private visit. They'll go to his pro day, And if they got to move Fields for less than what they want, what option do they have right now? Because there's, like I said, you cannot have him in there. It just would not be good for the franchise. It would not be good for the locker room. Yeah, they're all professionals. They'll all deal with it. But still, I saw something years ago. It was written on, it was one of the SB Nation sites. It was a former NFL player. He used to write for him. He said a locker room is not a hive. There are cliques within a locker room. Not everyone loves everyone. So why have that happen? Why give it a chance to, oh, we're Team Caleb. Oh, we're Team Fields. We see how bad it is with our fans. We're a bunch of idiots right now. The way we're all going on about this whole thing, what happens will happen. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily of the belief that Ryan Poles, can create a market out of thin air or that he tanked a market. I think you're starting to see some things being thrown around in terms of of, you know, arrows at Ryan Poles for messing up Justin Fields' market. He was too greedy. He asked for too much, and now he's left holding the bag. And I suppose that if Poles just said no to like a fifth round pick in February, I don't think that that's being too greedy and asking too much, because that's not a lot of value, right? Like yeah. that's not something to get excited about. Obviously he's hoping to get more. Maybe he gets that more in the future. Maybe he doesn't. I'm not predicting the future, but you know, generally a market is when two or more teams are looking to compete against each other. Yeah. Right. And I think Poles did what he could. He tried to work through the media, and there was a lot of reports, you know, from the Rappaports and the Schefters and the Tom Pelissarios and all that, where it was, you know, Bears are expecting multiple, you know, have multiple teams calling and, yeah. and you know, it was a second round picks and, you know, day one pick or day two picks, you know, like kind of, I think he was seeding the media with these ideas. And the reality is it probably wasn't there. And you're seeing that a little bit. Maybe Poles thought that Fields would be the most attractive option for a lot of people. And it was certainly more of Kirk Cousins first. You know, people were interested in Baker Mayfield, who signed back with Tampa. Obviously, if you haven't heard, Cousins went to Atlanta. And so that was the destination for a lot of people picking, myself included, that, you know, you would think that Justin Fields could go to Atlanta. Well, that's off the board now that you've got that. Russell Wilson was released from Denver.
Yeah.
And the Broncos ate like $80 million in dead money. And so now Russell Wilson's basically free. Now, I don't know that that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the Steelers, who were another popular option destination for Fields, the Steelers were like, well, we can sign this guy for $1 million.
Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe he'll give us decent play. Maybe he won't, but it's a bargain. Well, you're not going to get that anywhere else.
No.
Right. And then when Luke Getsy signed in Vegas, I was like, well, that's off the board. I mean, I think you could tell that relationship didn't work. And then they signed Gardner Minshew for pretty good money, by the way, not too long ago. And I just thought that's a perfect signing for Luke Getsy. That's a Luke Getsy quarterback. How many times did I tell you that I thought Tyson Bagent was poor man's Gardner Minshew? Right. So, you know, these potential destinations for Justin Fields just kind of keep drying up. And so I think you're seeing now where Poles probably has to pull back a little bit here, regroup, see where the dust has settled with this quarterback movement. And now kind of say, okay, is it, you know, are the Patriots interested? Are the Giants interested? You know, Broncos,
yeah, I don't know. Mentioned as a go there too. So,
you know, kind of regroup here and see if somebody wants to make a move before the draft. And you hope, I think for the sanity of a lot of Bears fans and Bears communities, that we get a resolution here soon.
Well, Poles even said he wants to do right by Justin. I mean, is that keep him or is that send him somewhere that makes sense for him? I mean, it's such a weird area where it's like, the report today was, oh, they haven't really shopped him seriously yet. You know, that was the report by Rappaport that made the rounds through social media. You know, okay, maybe they haven't really, because they haven't considered an offer comeback that was serious enough to consider. So who knows? I mean, these things are out there. The GMs on every team is playing the game. The agents are playing the game. You know, that's where these insiders get the information. You hear a lot of people say, well, if Ryan Poles doesn't say it, this is the big meme. If Ryan Poles hasn't said it, it's not true. Okay, well, did Ryan Poles say the thing with Rap today when Rap said it? But people are all over that. Oh, it never happened because Rap says it. Okay. Stop trying to juggle things. Stop trying to move the goalposts. You know, if the best things for Fields, if, like I said, Ryan Poles knows. I mean, he still can't be deciding, you know, maybe Justin Fields is the guy. Maybe he's not. He has to have conviction in his quarterback. If he believes Fields is the guy, he'll keep him and he'll trade number one for a haul. If he doesn't, then you have to get rid of Justin Fields because you don't believe in him. You're going to take another quarterback. That's just bad for him. So The decision is made. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have a pretty good
idea. We have an idea. I mean,
but yes. Yeah. I guess until you see something official, you know, we're not for sure. Hopefully we get some resolution soon. We are both Justin Fields fans. We like the guy. We've just sort of, from a football logic standpoint, came to that conclusion. I don't know, 3/4 through the year just kind of seemed like, you know, we were heading down that path for sure. And, you know, by the end, we just kind of agreed. Yeah. Let's leave it there. We'll see if we get any resolution here soon and we can react to that. But I want to talk about what's left for free agency, what's left for the Bears. And I think right now the biggest rumor is Danielle Hunter. Yeah. There's a lot of smoke around the Bears signing a defensive lineman. You hear some, you know, Courtney Cronin and Brad Biggs having some maybe somewhat cryptic tweets. Montez Sweat, who I, you know, shares an agent with Danielle Hunter, you know, had like a tweet earlier today and makes you like, I want to draw the line here. You know, I'd like to believe. And he's kind of the big fish left. Stealing from a division opponent sure would be nice as well. So the Bears do need to sign a defensive lineman, whoever that is, a guy that can take, you know, starter snaps, either defensive tackle or defensive end. You've got some flexibility with Walker there, who can kind of move in and out. And so I think that's kind of the obvious piece that needs to happen on the defense. The offense, I think we would like to see at least another interior offensive lineman. I would have liked to have seen a starting center. We talked about that a little bit already. You need at least one starting level wide receiver. I think we expect that to be like maybe a wide receiver 3 coming from free agency, and maybe that hope that you get that higher, like that pick 9, where you get a guy that can step in right away and take receiver snaps. You know, so you're adding a couple starters in those two different directions. Anything else that you think that the Bears really need to address here besides sort of those depth pieces that happen in every free agency?
Yeah, I mean, they'll bargain shop a little bit. I mean, he'll let the market come to him. You know, like I said, the big prize is Hunter. I mean, that was the buzz. I mean, we heard a lot of buzz, just like the Bears were in on running backs. We didn't know it was Swift, but we heard tailback. That was, we kept hearing it. We've been hearing the same thing about defensive line. The ex-Dolphin guy Wilkins got a boatload of money, so he's off the board. You know, the Bears lost Justin Jones, who played interior D-line for them. You know, they're going to have to make a move here on the D-line, because, like you said, they do have Walker. He's kind of more of a jack of all trades guy, kind of play all up and down that line. But they lost Ngakoue. Obviously, he's a free agent. You know, so there's some money to spend here, and it makes sense because, you know, we're still talking about Coach Fluce. He's still a defensive guy. Get him his piece here, you know, so that way you can hopefully spend your draft picks for a change on offensive side of the ball, because, you know, I don't want to see them go nuts on defense in the draft. I think at some point you got to kind of balance it out a little bit. So if you can get Hunter, like you said, the Cronin tweet, she used to be on the beat in Minnesota. She would know. Biggs, of course, longtime Bears beat guy. He's talked about D-line. You know, there's a lot of smoke about Hunter. And plus, there's no other teams been mentioned. I did see something fly by earlier, possibly, I might have been Houston, you know, because they lost Grenard. So Hunter's got to be the pick. And then, of course, you said receiver. Curtis Samuel's the guy that I thought would make a lot of sense in Chicago, kind of play that. He's not your big X. He's more of in the DJ Moore mold. You got to play the slot, a little bit of the Z. I think he's a guy that would make a lot of sense, because you don't want to wait for the draft to fill these needs. It's going to happen. And right now the Bears receiving core is, I mean, it's booty. I mean, who do you got? You got DJ Moore. That's really all you got. Mooney's going to be gone. I can't see him staying in Chicago. EQ, I mean, he's a free agent. He's gone, you know. So Scott, I like Scott as a depth piece, but he's not a guy you count on starting. So you got to get a starting receiver. You got to add interior O-line, and you got to get a defensive lineman.
Yeah, generally, general managers are going to try to fill all of the holes so that when you get to the draft, you're, you know, just trying to improve on those, but you're providing yourself with flexibility. You're not pigeonholing yourself into having to take, you know, certain positions. And, you know, Bears maybe had to take a tackle last draft, right? Like that felt like that was, you know, that was going to happen. That was good, the bet, right? Then you're going to have to kind of spend at that position. But I think the theory is sound to try to fill, you know, the rest of the gaps with on defense with some free agents, particularly if you want to spend a little bit here, get some veterans in, and then spend your draft picks on offense. You know, Cincinnati did that a few years ago to great success. You know, and then as their, you know, Burrow and Chase, you know, get to that contract where they're going to eat up more of the money, then it kind of flips, right? Where you're spending more of your draft picks on defense, and because you've got all the money on offense, right?
Yeah.
So I think right now it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, again, we're expecting the quarterback, I know people don't like this, but we're expecting the quarterback contract cycle to reset here, where you're going to pay the number one overall pick, which is not cheap in and of itself, but for a quarterback, you know, that's a cheaper contract. And so you have some extra money. Plus the Bears have put themselves in good financial position. They do have money to be able to spend. They haven't tapped into future years, and they've had, you know, they have one of the more robust, you know, cap space, you know, situations right now as well. So, you know, there's money to spend. They have enough money to afford Danielle Hunter if they are able, if he's interested and they're able to complete that deal. Again, I would love it, because I would love to just steal a Viking who's, you know, he's a fantastic football player. So it'd be really nice to be able to steal him. But that's, you know, for the most part, I don't know that there's that many guys that are out on the market that make a ton of sense, that have any kind of ties to the Bears, that are sort of in that top tier anymore. I think, you know, we're going to get down to that wave two, wave three, where you'll start seeing the guys that have connections to the coaching staff, or, you know, they play for that guy, you know, 5 years ago, or, you know, he always plays in this scheme. We'll start to see those, and that'll make some sense. But those are guys that, those are important, but those are not necessarily guys that move the needle, as opposed to just kind of filling out that roster and trying to create something that's competitive for the coming year.
Cliff Victoria in the chat mentioned Noah Fant. That's a guy that makes some sense. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the guy's connection to the coaching staff. You know, the other Seattle tight ends, you know, they signed for pretty decent money. So we'll kind of see how Fant's market kind of shapes up here. But I thought he might be the one that would get more money than the other guys. So, you know, maybe because he's not as much of a blocker as the other guys that the Seahawks lost, maybe his number will come down a little more. But I think Fant's a guy, because again, we talk about needs, you know, you don't have another tight end because Robert Tonyan's a free agent. Mercedes Lewis is a free agent. So you really only have Cole Kmet on the roster. And then Waldron, we did see last year, you know, again, he uses what he has on his team. Last year, we had a bunch of tight ends. So that's what he went with.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is that because of what he likes, or is that because of the personnel that he had? You know, hopefully it's the latter, right? Like you use the best players that you have available to you to create your offense. But I don't know that there is a lot more take. I anticipated more juice coming out of today, right? I thought we would get a little bit more, you know, some of, you know, Poles has been pretty active in terms of figuring out what this roster looks like, though, right? Like he dipped into, you know, capital for this draft to get Montez Sweat last year, right? Like, I mean,
we have some breaking news.
Oh,
Noah Fant just signed back with Seattle. So,
oh, okay. Well, there you go. He's off the board. Well, at least we didn't leave that in the podcast.
Yes,
people would be good. Like these idiots.
Yeah, don't you know?
So yeah, good breaking news there. I didn't want him anyway. That's how you approach, you know, any free agency period. Is if they sign with your team, great signing, makes sense. Right. Fits the scheme. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of money, but sure. Like, you know, it's a smart signing. And then if he signs somewhere else, like, yeah, glad that they
overpay.
Yeah. That was an overpay. Was
he ended up getting pretty good money, $21 million over 2 years. So that's a nice deal for Fant, and probably a little too pricey for what the Bears wanted to do as your move tight end, because Cole Kmet's still your primary.
At some point you got to spend, at some point, if you're going to play the free agency game, you're going to have to feel comfortable spending money if you want these guys. And if you really want them, I had a tweet earlier, Christian Wilkins, who's a fantastic defensive tackle, one of the best in the game, shakes loose from Miami only because they went all in last year. They can't afford guys, right? It's the only reason why he shakes loose. So it's one of those good situations where it's like, this is a premium player. This is you don't get this opportunity, right? All week, all the Bears guys that I follow, like, I want this. I don't care what he costs. This is the guy I want. Like, what blank check, Ryan Poles, go out and get him. And then he signs $110 million. Like, it's a bunch of money. 84
guaranteed, right?
84 guaranteed. It's bunch of money, right? And every account that was like, whatever, blank check. Yeah. It's like, I'm really glad that the Bears passed that. I don't like it for that. It's like, hey, man, you can't do both. Yeah,
you can't flip flop. You either
want him for whatever or, like, you know. So I just, to me, you just know. Like, when Julius Peppers signed, people were like, that's way too much money. It's like, nah, he's really good. This guy's like a Hall of Famer. You know, he's going to be fine. It's at some point if you're going to chop at that top of the market, you got to know that you're going to just reset markets. You know, you're going to sign a number that's going to look scary. And then in a couple of years, it's probably going to look fine. It just does not seem like Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles likes to maybe sign sort of the non-premium positions and maybe go after guys that are, you know, towards the top of those markets. It feels a little bit more comfortable there. Maybe he feels like there's some value overall in doing that, but so far it doesn't seem like he's been willing to dip into the premium markets and certainly not the premium players at the premium positions.
Well, that's probably good though, because you want to do that when you think you're on the cusp of
Bears are on the cusp.
I mean, they're on the cusp of hopefully pushing for a playoff spot. I don't think they're going to be a legit championship contender. I think they're still maybe a year away, another good roster rebuild away from that. But, I mean, we kind of saw the thing happen with Ryan Pace a few years back. We kind of went all in, signed a whole bunch of guys, and it worked for a minute there. And then it kind of just all fell apart because, you know, he didn't have the infrastructure in place. He pushed too much money down the road. He didn't have the right draft. He got the wrong quarterback, you know. Hopefully Ryan Poles has got a little better plan here. I mean, he's always talked about building for the long term, you know, but like you said, at some point he has to see, okay, the rebuild has been a couple years in, 2-3 years in. Now we're going to go all in. This is our chance. Hopefully that's coming. I mean, if, like I said, we talk about Hunter, maybe that's his splash. He thinks he can get his defense to an elite place because it was pretty damn good last year. You know, top five towards the end. You're bringing in a safety who's quality. Hunter would look really nice.
If they find Danielle Hunter, it does really kind of that would be great. That would be a great outcome because now you've got a defensive line that you can feel really excited about. All three levels you should feel really excited about, and you can then focus your draft picks on the offense like that. Yeah, absolutely. If that happens, like we're going to both be really happy guys. So, all right. So let's get out of here for that. I think that's a good day one recap. There'll be other guys that'll be on here that'll react at some point here down the road. I'm sure, you know, Bill Zimmerman's going to have an opinion. I've already talked to him a little bit, you know, through chat today. He's already got some opinions. So I think you guys will enjoy hearing Bill and we'll just keep coming back. I don't know how frequent we'll do shows, but we will we'll be along somewhat frequently here leading up to the draft and the big decisions here that Ryan Poles has in front of him. And we'll stick around a little bit for questions in the comments on the YouTube. But until next time, you got anything that you want to plug on the website or anything?
You know, we may have a couple breaking news podcasts coming up. If there's a nice big signing, someone probably will jump in and kind of share some thoughts. But yeah, it's all free agency coverage. This whole week's going to be nothing but that. The tracker's popping, transaction tracker's popping. You know, there's you know, it's always something fresh, always something new.
Always something fresh. All right, guys. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And until next time, bear down.